When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
It's not skippable, is it? But I don't think it'd be high scoring either.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name is Rich.
And my name is James.
Any closer, James? Any closer? Because my
I've already given it up.
Don't give up. Don't give up. There's a second place. There's a third place.
Yeah, but I'm giving them up as well.
Okay.
I'm not eating them. So I suppose technically, yes, a little closer. 91 points seems a bit shit this week, but I think it was shit for a lot of people, wasn't it? Particularly on Saturday. Saturday was disastrous.
I mean, how many transfers did you make?
Great.
See, I got 77 points this week, but I only made one transfer.
Yeah, but you've got about 42 left, haven't you?
23 now, James. I should be aggressive now, shouldn't I?
No, probably not till after the international break now, really, subject to what you've got in your team, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, 77 points was made up with... on Saturday, I didn't have any players, so ended up selling Huang, who had no fixture, made perfect sense. I bought Saka for the biggest upside, thinking that Arsenal would do some damage against Brentford, which didn't actually play out because Brentford managed to get their strategy. I'm not even going to call it tactics. I'm going to call it strategy to frustrate spot on. So there was only 4 points for me on the Sunday. And it wasn't massively better in terms of I captained Haaland. So Haaland, Rodri, Foden, De Bruyne was just bits and pieces. There wasn't any kind of real points hauls there. I did okay with Van Heek, 10 points. I did okay with Romero, 10 points. And I did okay with Van Dijk, 7 points. But Areola as well, just as usual, saved here, nothing special. The week was saved by Palmer on Monday night.
Everyone. There weren't I 96.3% top thousands, so
yeah,
that was and of it. That, nearly all of them have captained him as well. So,
yeah, I mean, it's meant I've held rank rather than particularly dropping back. I don't have any players tonight, so I'm likely to sell De Bruyne for Solanke, and I'll captain Solanke tonight.
That's interesting. It's interesting because in FPL you went Morris over Solanke. So why not go Morris now?
Because FPL is based on Game Week 29. And I know Morris has got another fixture in this weekend where Solanke hasn't. But I just think Solanke's about a longer-term hold.
Do you think you'll hold him longer-term now? Like, who's your forwards at the moment?
Only Watkins and Haaland. I've only got the two.
So Solanke be coming in for...
De Bruyne.
Okay.
Change of formation because I want to get to Salah, James.
I mean, that's the front three I've got. I'm not being critical of it at all. And ironically, it might even be Watkins ends up going for me possibly before Solanke. The fixtures after the international break are good for him. I just wonder if with the extra fixture at this moment, with the extra fixture against Forest on Saturday, if Morris is the better play for you. But I think Morris then moves on to something quite quickly. And as if you've got Watkins in place, have you got Bowen?
I do not, James.
I wonder if the best play for you might be Morris for the two tonight and Saturday, and then to Bowen on Sunday.
Daisy chain.
Yeah. And then you take Bowen for the two.
Yep.
Or longer, and shove that into something else. I'm not quite sure on my status of probably how long I'll have Jarrod Bowen for. I don't think it's not one. Cole Palmer Monday night felt like the first one. I go, you're there now till the end. I think there's not, there's probably because the extra fixtures for Chelsea, there's unlikely to be a reason to move him, and plus his value. Bowen's not in that category. Yeah, I don't think almost any player that you would buy over this next 4 or 5 day period is not someone you could look at and go, definitely stay until the end of the season because of fixtures. Tottenham players maybe a little bit more, but we've stressed a number of times that running is shit. So you might go, well, I don't want Romero for Newcastle, Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Chelsea, whatever else is in that period as well, right? So Palmer felt like the first one. You go, yep, now you're going in, you're staying in. Bowen wouldn't be that. Morris wouldn't be that. I think Solanke would be that either.
Well, with my transfer account, you know, it's not a big deal.
I think the flip is Bournemouth have obviously an additional fixture with Wolves to rearrange. If that was to land in the midweek in April rather than the midweek in May, you probably kick yourself for not having him, I think. It probably is still the better play. It's just psychologically thinking of Sky Head, extra fixture is Luton now. It's not Bournemouth.
Yeah, but then looking at Bournemouth's fixtures, it's Luton, Everton, Palace, Luton. It's a much better run than if I was to get stuck with Morris for whatever reason, which there's no reason to get stuck with anyone. But I think I just, over those four, even if you had five for Luton versus four for Bournemouth, Solanke scores more points.
You also haven't, ironically, you haven't missed anything with Solanke.
Mm.
You've missed nothing. You captain Saka on Saturday, you won. against the Solanke captain is right.
Where did your 90 something points come from, James?
91 for me came from not a lot on Saturday, so I probably came claim Ilya Zabani's 4 points against Sheffield United as a win. Woohoo, passing here. Solanke minus one. I captain Saka, Saliba as well. Nothing, not a dime from them Arsenal centre backs at the weekend. This is what we'd said. That if they conceded one dumb goal over the two games, was it worth going for a Gabriel for two games just to chain it on? And that freak moment with Ramsdale was meant, for me, in my opinion, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't worth 12 points to make two transfers. So I feel like it kind of escapes that with the Arsenal pile on. Sunday, I moved Saliba and Saka on. Romero was the obvious one for me because I needed a defensive player. I wasn't expecting anything on Sunday, so delighted with the 10 points, obviously, for many reasons. And I bought Bowen. And I captained the shit as well, Suj. Captained him because you had Burnley at home. I thought it felt like a good idea to me. To be honest, I can't really grumble about that too much because the two for captaincy for me on Sunday was between Bowen and Watkins and neither of them did anything.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously didn't record on Monday, so we didn't actually talk about the game in terms of it was still, he still had chances. He was still very heavily involved in the game. But I do think from West Ham now, Bowen's going to move back out to the right. I think West Ham are going to now try to integrate Antonio back in. Paqueta to play as a 10, Kudus to go left, and Bowen to go back to the right.
Deeper for Ward-Prowse. You got four competing over two spots then.
Ward-Prowse, I don't even know if we're getting the team. Like Ward-Prowse and Calvin Phillips.
Moyes ain't leaving him out,
Ward-Prowse and Calvin Phillips were taken off for Alvarez and Antonio. Alvarez is in. So now you've got Socek, Calvin Phillips and Ward-Prowse competing for one place. Yeah, you're probably right
I think
that.
I think they're competing for two, mate. I don't think they'll leave Ward-Prowse out.
Well, then there's no place left in the team, James.
Oh, I think you'll keep playing at 10. I think Bowen will stay through the middle.
I don't know. We weren't good with that setup, and it obviously changed in the second half. But other circumstances. But look, Bowen is a threat from the right regardless. So if you still got him there, you're never concerned, really.
Yeah, I think probably Bowen was more one probably invest. I know he blanked, but he was an investment probably for last week. I think it might maybe offers a solution. It's the sort of one, I think, if you haven't got, if you pick up, I don't know, hypothetically, Son gets injured or suspended on Saturday and you're looking at where you're going and you've already got Watkins, he's going to appeal and you're going to feel an urge to just get it done. And I get that with the additional fixture. Van Dijk 7 was a bonus for me. Wasn't expecting anything off that. Passing and tackles. Rodri 4. Didn't have his best game, actually, but still a staggering number of passes. Haaland nothing. Watkins nothing. Sonny 16. Was obviously a nice touch. I'll be honest, it was never under consideration captain for me. And I got Pascal Gross's 8 and then moved him on to Cole Palmer on Monday night, captain 26. I really deliberated getting Gusto Monday night, Suj. I thought about it a lot. I was thinking about it from two perspectives. One was the price in terms of enabling. Two, the longer term play with Chelsea's fixtures obviously turning good after the international break. And I held back off it. It might be one I go back for, though. I held off it. Yeah. That was a close call. I nearly went with that. Not that it would have majorly benefited me. He got me a tackle tier. He got a tackle tier, sorry. But he's kind of still on radar. The injury to Ben Chilwell made me think about it more, thinking he can even cover at left back. Then I saw Cucurella was back in the team as well. And have I got all the info here? I wasn't sure. So I held off and just went with Palmer.
Sure. Well, now that you obviously have Sonny in, let's talk about captaincy for this weekend. Does that mean that you're now tempted on Saturday to go Sonny over Romero?
Not tempted, mate. That's a definite.
That's 100% happening. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's the potential upside of Sonny. Plus, what's the chance of Tottenham keeping two successive clean sheets?
You tell me better than you watch them every week, mate.
Unlikely. Okay. Mickey Van Der Ven probably won't play. I think Radu Dragosin will be fine, by the way. And I'm certain that's all play, but Mickey might be back for the one after against Luton after the international break. That's the early word. We should get more confirmation of that later today or tomorrow. Yeah, but sunny for me Saturday. It's probably more those who've gone down the Tony route. It's probably more of an argument. Although I would say Romero will hit passing against Fulham, it's near certainty.
If you're like me, a Romero owner with no Spurs attacking, would you go in? Because your fixtures afterwards are pretty decent as well. So I don't see like Luton, West Ham, a bit of a gap then Forest.
Well, I think Sonny's next four games is getting captained.
Okay. So
Saturday, obviously the following Saturday, the 30th at home to Luton, is probably between him and Cole Palmer, I think. Luton have got so many defensive problems, mate. The week after is the Tuesday night, Tottenham at West Ham. They're not a great set of fixtures, but I think just on the ownership stuff, he'll be the most popular that night as it stands. What's the alternatives? Newcastle home to Everton, Wolves at Burnley, Solanke against Palace. It's not great. So probably just sunny that night. And then the following Monday, obviously the Forest game is a single game day. So if you haven't got... You've got to know that I think the majority are probably caps him in his next four fixtures. You got to survive a lot without him at the moment, I think. So I'd consider that if I was you, mate. Get it.
Yeah,
get it done.
I think I will. Yeah, agreed. What are you planning for the West Ham bit of game? Are you going to go Bowen or Watkins?
I'll go Watkins.
I think so too.
It's a little bit of an ownership play again. Bowen's up to 62.5%. Kind of feels like the 11 or so percent that probably don't own Watkins probably will do come Sunday as well. A little bit more upside in him in terms of a haul, I think. Like, easily one could return and not the other. I just think if one was to go off bigger, it's more likely to be Watkins. That would be my take. So, yeah, just Watkins over Bowen, I think.
Watkins was pretty devastating against us in the reverse fixture at Villa Park, if you remember.
He did well
in that game. And defensively, we're not good. Obviously, both of the teams play on Thursday. It could go either way, right? West Ham win and we're like in celebration mood, so then your eye is on something else, or you lose and you're deflated, so you get a kick in the balls.
But even within that narrative, you could lose and then react on Sunday in a positive way, or you could win tonight and it could be high emotion and you take your eye off the ball for Sunday. So I think even that narrative can be spun either way.
Villa have got the return fixture with Ajax, right? So that's a big fixture for them at Villa Park as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's both big fixtures for both of you. Probably Sunday is more important for Villa now after the results on Sunday. Whereas tonight is more important for you than Sunday, probably.
Tomorrow
is more important than Sunday for you.
We're a few seasons away from playing on Wednesday nights.
Whereas for Villa, if we win at Fulham on Saturday, Villa know they're in catch up and aren't going to want to be slipping behind, right? So, I mean, probably draw. I think it'd be low scoring, is worth saying. I don't think, from a single game day perspective, have you got to cover it if you don't own either? I think there's every case to say you should get Watkins if you don't have anything of it, I think. It's not skippable, is it? But I don't think it'd be high scoring either.
Yeah, me neither. Cool. Did we learn anything about the
Solanke tonight, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I'll be whoever I buy, and I'll have to have a think about it. I do like your idea of daisy chaining a Luton asset in Morris, but also I'd hold Solanke longer term, so I may just ignore that.
I think Solanke is probably the right play, but I also think maybe in your situation, so you might want to consider doing both.
Yeah, could do. Yeah. With the European results as they are, there's not been too much to learn in terms of upcoming fixtures, really, other than Brighton are obviously in a lot of trouble.
No, that does have a minor impact. Not that we can see it currently for Sky Fantasy, but it means that the Brighton-Chelsea game, if Chelsea win in the FA Cup at the weekend, is more likely to become a single game day in a random week rather than Chelsea-Tottenham. Again, I don't think it makes a huge difference because the majority of it's going to be on Palmer, right? So it's not anything to stress about. It might be one maybe more for those who have Brighton assets in terms of an awareness of could the game happen earlier. I think there's one date that's possible, which would be earlier than expected. I think it's Wednesday, April the 10th for Brighton against Chelsea. For that to happen, Chelsea've got to win against Leicester at the weekend first and foremost. It's tight, that. It's the 13th of March now. So the weekend is, what, 16th?
Yeah.
Probably don't announce anything until Monday. That's, what, the 18th, 19th? Just so maybe to bear in mind if people are thinking of moving their Brighton assets to that game, could happen earlier. But again, I'd be that fussed about it. I do think that with them going out of Europe, which they almost definitely will, the likes of Gross, Duncan, Van Heek do become more attractive. Yep. Like, I think if they'd have knocked out Roma, for me, they became definitive sales. It's going to get way too messy. But the fact that they won't have any other cup commitments doesn't mean they might get back to a more settled team. So I think Gross is still going to be fine until the end of the season and stuff. The game is more likely, though, I think, to be played in May. So that's the only thing that's new in terms of the fixtures. Obviously, an awareness after tomorrow night as well of the potential movement of the Arsenal, Villa and Bournemouth Manchester United games in mid-April, match week 33 as well. So we have mentioned there is a tiny, tiny possibility that the Arsenal-Villa fixture could be postponed if UEFA forced Arsenal to play on the Tuesday afterwards and Villa to play on the Thursday beforehand. They probably won't. And in Ipswich, might need Wolves to possibly go out of the FA Cup for that eventuality to happen as well. That's not favoured either. So there's not anything in terms of fixtures to massively update. And we're obviously going to have a much clearer idea of where we're at after the FA Cup weekend. And we should, before match week 30, the final weekend of March comes around, we should have a clearer understanding of some more fixtures. The rest of April, really, we should hopefully have.
Well, just in time, you're saying at the end of 30 or before 30?
I think it should be before. It's a regular question I'm getting. Will we know the FPL double game week 34 fixtures before the restart after the internationals? All I can keep saying is we should do, but I can't guarantee the Premier League won't piss it up the wall. That's it, basically.
Okay. Well, we shall wait and see. We've got a nice international break coming up after this weekend for people to get into their tinkering and their strategy. And we may even have some questions around that on the Bird app, James. Tier points is what we do each and every week. What have we got? Any good stuff? It doesn't feel...
No, not really.
Like it.
not really at all. Lots of D decent keeper returns, actually. Six saves for Onana, six saves for Pickford in that lunchtime kickoff between United and Everton. The only other tier points was shot tier for Victor Lindelof, and shot tier for Bruno Fernandes as well. I do think Garnacho will be interesting for the running. I think he could be a good little differential that people will overlook. He's 7.5. I think the entry point for him would be probably when they play Bournemouth, if that game stays on Sunday, April the 14th. If it moves back to the Saturday, it might not be so much of interest. If they play Bournemouth to Sunday, end up playing FA Cup semi-final weekend, then have an extra fixture next midweek, I think we'll get there and it'll be quite popular. And it's a very reasonable price, 7.5 to be punted. Everton have a good run in, but I don't think we're particularly looking at them at the moment. We'd only be looking defensively anyway. From Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Zabani and Mepham, tier two passing. Neto, seven saves. I see Andoni Iriola hasn't confirmed it will start tonight. This has been a nagging doubt that Neil Grover's had for a while about him. Said if a mistake comes, he might lose his place. And there was one at the weekend. That's something to be aware of. I say that because a few will have him. If he doesn't play tonight, it might not be just a one-off. But I also think it's probably, because they play on the Saturday after the internationals, it probably is still a hold and then reassess after at that point. He probably will play, but I don't think it's going to come a huge shock if he doesn't. Shot tier for Semenyo, shot tier for Unal, who came on as well. For Sheffield United, shout out to Alston Trusty, who played the whole game and completed three passes. That's a major, major unlocking of an achievement. Bogle and McBurney were shot here. Ivo Grubic completed nine saves. Only one of them was from Dominic Solanke. From the Palace-Luton game, no passing tiers. Do you want to guess the most passes in that fixture, Serge? Palace-Luton? You'll get it wrong.
Okay. Morrison.
Yeah, okay, sure, darling. He was... Him and Corley Woodrow were the only Luton players to have shots on target. No, Jefferson Lerma, 45, was most passes in the game. Only one player got a tackle tier. You want to guess that one? You might get this one right.
Barkley.
Tyreek Mitchell.
Okay.
There was a shot tier for Mateta and a save tier for Kaminski. From Wolves, Fulham, Max Kilman squeaked into tier one passing for Wolves. So did Calvin Bassey for Fulham, tossing Adebayo 80 passes, tier two for passing. It was shot tiers for eight, Nori, Iwobi and Muniz, a tackle tier for Anthony Robinson and save tier two for Jose Sardi. It was also save tiers in the game at the Emirates for both keepers and Ramsdale and Mark Flecken. Only one player hit a passing tier, staggeringly.
Wow.
Guesses?
I've got it open in front of me, James.
That's cheating then. It's Ben White. Only 63. Gabriel 56, Saliba 52, Jorginho, in fairness, would have hit it, 53 from 70 minutes played. Declan Rice, way more advanced role, 33, right? Saka completed 40.
I think obviously ball in play is always a
it is a problem with them.
So if the ball's not in play for a lot, you can't really complete a lot of passes, can you?
Also, things like Saka completing 40 passes gives you an indication of where that ball was at quite a lot. And probably with Brentford playing a front two, it probably meant it was bypassing them earlier rather than Saliba and Gabriel knocking the ball backwards and forwards to each other with Kivior. Wasn't really the case. Mark Flecken completed the most passes of all Brentford players with 20. From Aston Villa to Tottenham at the weekend, Matty Cash, four tackles, one, the only Villa player with any tier from the fixture. John McGinn also would have got a tackle tier had he not absolutely whacked Destiny Udogi up in the air and got the ball. Villa fans are unhappy with me, apparently, Suj. Heung-min Son with a shot tier, goal, two assists and a shot tier. James Maddison squeaking into tier one passing with 61 completed. Ibe Basuma, 93 completed. Christian Romero, 84. Mickey van der Ven was on 57 when he went off early in the second half. So I think he would have pushed towards 100, actually. Destiny Udogi, 58. Just short as well. Pedro Porro, 45 passes completed. Three tackles, one. From the Brighton Forest game, again, both keepers, tier one saves. Nico Williams in the tackles. and over 100 passes for Dunk, Van Heck and Gross. That's not actually true because Van Heck and Gross were 100. Lewis Dunk was 115. No passes in the West Ham Burnley game. Most passes in the game went to Nair for Gued, 47. Ariola in the saves, Pakatar in the shots, Jared Bowen, Mohamed Kudus, neither with a shot on target. Dacho Fofana did hit shots here. There were tackles for Esteve and Josh Cullum. From Liverpool, Manchester City, Rodri, 90 passes completed at Anfield, is a madness. As I said, I didn't think he had his best game, actually. But Manuel Akanji, 54, was City's next highest. He played as a central centre-back instead of Ruben Dias. Liverpool's two centre-backs, Van Dijk and Quansah, both got to tier two, passing 77, 78 respectively. Kelleher with save tier, McAllister with shot tier. He also picked up tackle tier, as did Endo, Connor Bradley and Van Dijk. That Van Dijk seven-pointer was a nice little surprise, actually.
Yeah.
And finally, from the Monday night game, Sven Botman and Fabian Schär, tier one passing. That's because game state and Chelsea winning for the majority of it. Martin Dubravka made four saves. I can't remember any of them because I don't feel like he saves anything. Sterling, Palmer, Jackson, all his shot tiers. Mark Cucurella, tier two tackles with 6-1. Also tackle tiers for Casado, Disasai, and Malo Gusto. That's your tiering points for the weekend, Suj.
Cool. Yeah, there's a good rundown there. Nothing leaping off the page at all, really, James.
No, as we discussed last week, I think this week is largely, unless you've missed deadlines and stuff like that, this is largely a do-nothing point till after the March international break. You've got not many teams playing. The advantages on many of them, like West Ham, Villa, Tottenham, was invest last Sunday. I think maybe come back for tonight, obviously, if you haven't got anything. In that case, yeah, it's probably going to be Solanke. He's great value. There's good fixtures afterwards. I get that. Plus, you haven't missed the points of because he hasn't done anything over the last couple that the rest of us have owned. And then come back and revisit. And then you're looking at sort of the Sunday sort of City and Liverpool entry points after the international break. And then the Wednesday, Thursday, other teams join into that as well. So I think for most people, it's been a heavy cut the weekends. Chill. Certainly don't feel the need to. I got to get 11 this weekend. I mean, how many you got this weekend? I think I've got five.
Very good question.
So I've got Sun and Romero on Saturday, Ariola, Bowen, Watkins Sunday. No, I don't have any. I don't have any desire to add to that.
I have three, James. Ariola, Romero, Watkins. I'll be adding a couple, though. I'll probably add some. And I'm Solanke or Morris. So five or six. Five I'll definitely have. More than likely five. If I get trigger happy, maybe six. Should we answer some of the questions on the internet?
Go for it, mate.
Let's do it. Andy, let's talk FPL, says, what to do with Ederson? He says, go to Kaminski for three and then move on. Or get Neto and stick with him. Or get someone playing in FPL Game Week 29 like Vicario and wait and see if it needs to be moved on later.
Vicario is an interesting shout. Trying to think about this logically. If you go Kaminski, it's three fixtures, include the Tottenham, and then you're probably moving it on to something on the Sunday is probably what you're going to want to do. And I just think at that point, your choices might be Brighton you have to ignore. Going back in for Raya at City away is probably not going to feel right, but might be the right call. Ortega, you're not going to go for. Kelleher's also subject to the Alisson status, right? So it might be if you go to Kaminski route, you're holding on for one more. Whereas if you wait for Vicario, three fixtures and then more choice on the Wednesday and the Thursday. And if you do decide to go in for Raya, for example, you're going in for like Luton at home. You've probably got a broader choice. So although Kaminski's got the extra fixture now, in terms of you're moving it on to the next one, I don't think there's a difference between, say, Vicario, Kaminski, and pretty much the majority of the other keepers that play the Saturday and the Tuesday. So Trafford's another one you're not going to go there. Leno? Leno's not a terrible shout. It's Tottenham at home, Sheffield United actually. Away, and Fulham away. But again, it's probably a chain. But they always play first all the way through as far as we can see at the moment, Fulham, although the West Ham fixture will move to Sunday the 14th if obviously you beat Freiburg and knock them out tomorrow night. But Leno's not a terrible one to look at. And actually, Matt Sells. Also, if you're going for the free, it's Luton away, Palace at home, Fulham at home. And then you've got your choice of the six teams playing on the Wednesday and four teams playing on the Thursday. I don't think any of them offer the captaincy. So I think it literally just comes down to judging which of the keepers you want for free. And I think arguably Kaminski is the most awkward one. The right answer here really is Neto, of course. But there's an inkling of concern. I mean, if he plays tonight, cool, probably crack on and that's the right one. But I'd want to be clear in my mind of what plan B was going to be. And I don't think that should be Kaminski. I think it should be one of the others, Sells, Vicario or Leno, for three games and then move that on.
Yeah, John Wayne's got the same thing. He's thinking about moving Areola to Neto or just leave Areola and hold him. He's got Solanke for captain.
No, consider. I mean, Areola is another one that falls into line. You go that Sunday, Villa at home, Newcastle away, Tottenham at home. The problem with that is those fixtures aren't as good. That's a tough three games for West Ham in comparison to some of the other ones. Like, I'd rather have Sells, I think, for the next three fixtures rather than Areola. But at the same time, I'm not going to think of selling Areola.
Craig Morris wants to know if you'd bring in Son for Saturday. Well, you already own. And looking at what you mentioned about the captaincy, I think it's a very strong consideration.
Yeah, because if you don't do it now, then what are you going to do it for the Luton game? Like, you're not either. So I think so. I think we got to get into the mindset of thinking, imagine it like this, right? Imagine every team was playing this game week, but all the ones that aren't playing played on Friday night.
Yeah.
You'd buy Son on Saturday, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's same effective for that. So I think it's one of them, if you want, yeah, you should get it done.
Are you going to be steaming back into Luton, Arsenal for the Luton at home game? Says the Bombardier. I mean, that's not this weekend, but the weekend after.
No.
Midweek, Wednesday, yeah, after City.
No, it's not improbable that I might even not get any.
Right.
Never mind steam in. The fixture tough, right? Obviously, that's the other side of City. But it's Brighton away, Villa at home. And then obviously, if Wolves go out the cup, sure, the Wolves game's at the weekend. But either way, there's not an extra fixture in there. Arsenal only going to play once, highly likely, in that week. I guess if Wolves went out, they could end up playing Wolves and Chelsea in that midweek. But I think the Chelsea game is more likely to be near the end, actually. So it might be that they've not particularly got additional fixtures. After Luton's Brighton away, Villa at home, Wolves away. Like, it's not a great run. On the other side of that is Tottenham. There's Manchester United away, a couple after. Might be a case of taking them on. Possibly. I don't think I will. I think I want something. And I think that will probably still revert to being Saliba as the most likely. But in terms of steaming back in, I don't think so at the moment. No.
Okay.
And obviously, they've gone for in Europe. So that's a different headache. We know what we get from City and Liverpool at this stage of the season when they're still in Europe. We don't know with Arsenal.
It's true. Yeah. FPL PTSD, if someone hypothetically forgot to take the postponed fixtures this weekend into account, giving them no players on Saturday, would you rather get a Luton player tonight for the two fixtures or just wait and get a Spurs player on Sunday, on Saturday?
Does depend who that player is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sonny, yes. I think there's a big case for Romero. Matters. I think a few might have obviously gone for last week. But yeah, in most cases, yeah, it's probably still the Tottenham player. The only Luton player I'd be considering if I was buying tonight personally is Colton Morris.
Yeah, agree with you on that. I think the upside over the next four with the Spurs players bigger if it's one or the other. But the alternative, like you said, James, is do both, but it depends on who you're moving and why you're moving.
Morris, you could go for tonight. It's three games and then straight back to Haaland. Like, do you fancy it? 3-0 with no captaincy. Do you fancy it enough? It's probably two transfers. So it's an additional one to what the example I used with Gabriel earlier. How much do I need him to do for that to be worthwhile for me to dive in for free and then probably know I'm going straight back to Haaland when City play Arsenal? It's probably a no from me. But for others, like if you picked up an injury or something, for example, I'd say an interesting one might be in terms of a real enabler for a couple of games if people need to manufacture their teams. It's a little bit risky, but Tim Arogbenham, I think, will probably play the next couple for Villa. And he probably would just be the West Ham game, the Wolves game, and then chain it into something else, maybe. It might be that you want to rework a system where you want to get back to Van Heek, for example, or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if he picks up the odd tackle tier, Tim Arogbenham. And it's not impossible, even against you at the weekend. He might even see a passing tier, possibly. He's 6.6. He'll presumably cover in there while John McGinn's suspended, I'm guessing.
Okay. And the last question of the show goes to Shadebadeb. I don't know. Do you prefer 40 transfers or 50 transfers? I feel like 40 transfers makes the game more difficult because you've got to be a bit more frugal. But 50 transfers allows you to be a little bit more maverick. So maybe it makes the game more interesting because there's a lot more variety in points.
I think
people gambling on other players. I'm not sure the answer to that.
I think the game is better for 50. I think, I wouldn't necessarily say prefer, but I would say the more restrictions in place, the better for my game. It's not as in beneficial to me, but I know it's also not beneficial to everybody else as well. So I think the more restrictions in place is probably normally better for me.
Yeah,
because of the understanding of fixtures and stuff.
40 makes it harder.
Yes, but therefore I think if you're asking me, 40 was better for me than 50.
Yeah, I would agree. I like it when the game's harder.
It's still hard with 50.
I'm not going to use 50 transfers.
You see it every year, and you see you'd have seen it in previous years as well. When you go back and you look at how many transfers you have to make because of injuries, you just want to beat yourself up. You can have all the plan in the world, but you tend to find that probably somewhere between sort of 30 and 60% of your transfers, depending on how lucky or unlucky you are, ends up being on injuries, I think. I've seen a few have been like three quarters of their transfers, just been replacing injured players this year in Sky.
Cool, James, that's a wrap for this week. It is a quiet week, listeners. We know, obviously, with only the handful of fixtures and the breaks not far around the corner, we will be back at you next Wednesday with a full set of fixtures to prepare for, maybe looking a little bit longer term out as well. Anything else to add, James?
No, only that. I mean, even if we haven't got the fixtures for, say, that match week midweek in 34, there's a few teams by that point we can know definitely are going to play or won't play at that weekend, for example. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll narrow down the fallout from the European results and also the FA Cup. If you want to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/planetFPL. You get access to our Slack community. You get access to additional content. You get access to James's amazing fixture planner, which is essential if you're playing Sky, almost essential if you're playing Sky. We don't like essential things, do we, James?
It's essential, and, though.
Well, it is for me anyway, as well as a whole host of other benefits from being a Patreon FPL.team. If you're an FPL player as well, you get access to now as well. So if you want to support the show, yeah, do head over to patreon.com/FPL. Tomorrow, James, you've got Aston Villa and West Ham on Clash of the Correspondents. Lee and Chris coming to join
yes,
you.
Yes, obviously Sky single game day as well. So we'll be chatting Sunday's fixture on COTC tomorrow, yeah.
Lovely jubbly. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. Cue music, please. Man Child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.